Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim.
Hi, everyone. Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Glad you could join us today for a conversation with Dave Kyle. Dave has had a successful career as an executive with brands such as General Mills, Ecolab, was the CEO of Honey Baked Hams, and is currently the COO operating partner at Farnworth, a growth equity firm. He is a CEO of one of their brands, The Lash Lounge, and looking forward to our conversation with Dave today. Dave, can you give us just a little bit of your background, a little bit of overview of your career?
Absolutely. I was born in Texas, moved a ton of kids, so moved 15 times, got to experience
Wow.
Landed in suburban Philadelphia for high school. Went to Michigan undergrad. I was an engineer by training. Met and then later married my college sweetheart, Jenny. We've been married 31 years now. And then really jumped right into the Fortune 500 world. So I spent about 28 years in Fortune 500 land. Frito-Lay for about 10 years where I was an engineer. Worked my way up within operations at Frito-Lay. Jumped over to finance and sales. Along the way, got my MBA, so in finance. Then made a jump to Pillsbury that was later acquired by General Mills. So I spent about 9 or 10 years there where I learned how to be a marketer, learned franchising for the first time that will come into play later, I got the deal bug. So began to do M&A, and we can talk about that later. I've done some fun deals in my day. And then jumped to a company called Ecolab. They're in the Twin Cities market. Large, when I joined, was maybe $4 billion. Today, it's $15 billion was really there in about the 10 years of significant growth. I did mergers and acquisitions. I ran the healthcare division. I integrated the largest acquisition that Ecolab has done, a company called an $8 billion deal called Nalco. And then I jumped to more entrepreneurial ventures. I was the first CEO, outside the family CEO of the Honey Baked Ham Company, a franchisor with about 400 units. Doubled profitability there, so had a great run there. Then jumped to another franchisor called Pure Bar. Pure Bar is a boutique fitness company, the second biggest on the planet, with about 500 units, where I led a turnaround as well, changing same-store sales. And then we just sold that business a few months ago. And now I'm with a company called Transit. We take these small emerging businesses that maybe have a handful of units. We apply a franchise system and then grow them to big. So brands like Title Boxing Club or City Row and Boutique Fitness, brands like The Lash Lounge, the Design Lash extensions of Spavia and Beauty and Wellness. And then we have a food and beverage. So we have 5 brands today. We've got another 4 that are coming on later this year.
Great. Well, when you think back to when you were a 20-something, just entering the workforce, if you could go back knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to yourself?
One, and I learned this early, was to be the same man in all aspects of my life. Right. So I think, particularly early on, I was working in a manufacturing environment. And, there was one Dave Kyle persona at work, and there was another one at home and another one at church on Sunday. So I think I was, trying, and part of this was my moving around. Having to be with a chameleon and fit in as I was the new guy. So I think that applied into my professional life. And I realized, I certainly realized now, and wish I knew then, just to be myself, in all those environments. And that authenticity. I think also being a little bit more, I thought you had to have it all together all the time. And I've certainly learned over the years that being real and transparent and more vulnerable is certainly, a great way to lead. Just to lead in that real, very real way.
Sure. Is there any advice that you received early on that, looking back on it, you should have ignored?
No. I thought you were going the other way. I mean, I got a lot of great advice about, share bad news quickly. So that was certainly something that I held on to. You know, and I think it's not an easy lesson to learn as a young leader. You know, often you just cover something up. But that was something good. You know, I didn't have great role models around me in those younger days. I mean, PepsiCo at the time was kind of an up or out type of place. You know, the people around me were not great examples of not living out a full life. And I think that's probably the biggest lesson I learned, just looking at the leaders around me. And sure, they got great results in the workplace, but there's, you know, high incidence of divorce, and just people, you know, just weren't being their best selves. And I think that's certainly some of your observations that I saw in my career growing up, is that, again, kind of back to that being one person, you know, living my best life. That was absolutely the best that I saw from people around me that focused 100% on work, not on, you know, all that.
Sure. So when you think back, entering into the career, was it intentional, your career path, or did you discover it as you went?
I absolutely discovered it as I went. I mean, I was an industrial engineer at the university, you know, really following in my father's footsteps. He was an industrial engineer, who entered into manufacturing world. So I knew I wanted to leave. That I knew. And that was really Frito-Lay at the time. This is 35 years ago. Was hiring. Really, I think it was the second year of people hiring into management straight out of engineering school. So I knew I wanted to leave, but I didn't know the area. And I think I found over the years that I did have a gift for leadership. I had a gift for taking some complex things and simplifying them, you know, getting crisp on strategy and turning that into a way to execute in a way that, you know, everyone understood their role in that. But the whole M&A piece was something that I came to love. Finding the blend of strategy and deal making and negotiation with the modeling side of it, with the human change element of it, and then leading into the leadership of it. I've led a few things that I've completed a deal. Happy to find that later in my life.
Got it. So what's been the biggest change since you've made the switch from more of a corporate large company background to more of an entrepreneurial environment?
It's in the Fortune 500 world, there are layers and layers and layers of support and protection around executives. So if I needed $20 million to go do a deal at General Mills, I'd call my buddy Ching Ming in Treasury and say, "Hey, Ching Ming, I need $20 million. When you're off on your own, there's no Treasury department to go
sure. The
phone, and when it's time to go write an HR policy or to deal with a tricky situation, you know, having to go build that, infrastructure to support business. The other big learning was just the role of a board of directors. That was something new to me. I'd always had a hierarchy of bosses and a pitch to a few boards of directors in the Fortune 500 world. So that prepared me well, but just entering into a family-owned enterprise that was Camelot's private equity held business, which is what Pure Barre was, a whole different world
right. Of
what interests are, what motivations are. So that was a big, big change. On the flip side, you know, the autonomy and the speed at which you could move was absolutely significant. Just give you one example. Pure Barre, we were only doing exercise in a physical location across 450 some odd studios. We saw a need in the market to go into the digital space, to go all the on-demand type streaming exercises, about 80% of the market. We saw that need, I think, in March, and by June, we had an offering up. And today, it's a very lucrative business with some 40,000 members. That would never have happened that quick from idea to implementation in a Fortune 500.
Yeah. So, when you think back on books that you've read throughout your life, are there some that are have influenced you the most and you'd recommend for any leader?
I would, Mark. Probably the one I reference and give out the most, I guess that's how I would classify these. Getting to Yes by Roger Fisher is just an incredible book, just a classic on negotiation that came out of the Harvard Negotiation Project. Roger Fisher was a Harvard guy who really started talking about interest-based negotiations. So instead of positional, where, you know, you want to sell me a car for $20,000, I want to buy it for really we understand what one another's interests are, we grow the pie, and we find a common interest. I've used that in deal-making and negotiating, and you know, a lot of life is negotiating, whether it's in a relationship, when it's, you know, with the
right.
coach building. So I think that was absolutely seminal for me and a highly recommended one. Another one, Greg McCowan wrote a book called Essentialism. That I love and I give out a lot. In fact, I just gave it to a partner of mine here who's stepping in and leading a business, one of our new businesses. And he said it was a game changer for him. It certainly was for me. This is all about really understanding what's the one thing.
Like, what's right.
In any business, in your life, what's the one thing? And just some real practical things on that. And then one I've read here in the last year that I just love is there's an author, a Christian author named Bob Goff, who wrote Love Does, that I just absolutely love. I think the essence that I took out of that book was the thing that Jesus said in the Bible about feeding those that are hungry and clothing those that don't have clothes. It wasn't very complicated. That's actually what he meant, was actually go do that. Like,
sure.
Really go do that. And I often ask myself, hey, what would love have for you? And I think that's something that I think Bob spoke about very clearly and plainly and lives a model like that. So those are probably the three marks that I would offer.
So how important is it, do you think, for an executive not only to give back by serving on boards, by being involved in their community? How has that impacted you as an individual?
Yeah, good question. I probably 25 years ago, Mark, made a decision to live on purpose. So that's what I called it. Well before Rick Warren wrote his book, Living on Purpose. So he probably owes me a little bit of royalty.
Yeah, right.
But no, I did make that decision to live on purpose, meaning for me that it wasn't all about just living for success for the next paycheck. And then I was in that time of raising my family. Kids. So I was in the middle of that, but I made that decision then to try to have balance and that around my faith, physical, like making sure I was working out, taking care of myself, my family, making sure we were taking adventures and seeing the world. I've been, just intellectually being stimulated by reading, stewardship, making sure I was giving back from all the gifts I was given, and also impacting via. Nonprofit. So back then I said, hey, let me engage in nonprofits. How do I do that? I found it was just super fulfilling. It was, the first one was actually in the Twin Cities that I sat on, a group called Dakota Communities, that now called Living Well, that does housing for the intellectually and developmentally disabled. I was able to give things that I really didn't know that skill set that I had, and a board was hungry for. They needed help on strategy. They needed help on developing the website. I didn't know that that was something that I had a value. So that was really when I discovered that. And then
sure.
Continued to sit on boards and find that. And it's in a place like I did most of that in the Twin Cities, which is where you are. And I find that, you know, it's such a philanthropic community and you get exposed to other people who want to give back. And for me, it's always been a blessing. And hopefully I've blessed other companies in doing so, but more than anything, I got to go, you know, lead something or lead a marketing campaign or lead a strategy where in my day job, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So it's a good
right.
thing as well.
Right. So if you were to talk to somebody who's putting together their first executive team, what advice would you give them as they're putting that team together? What are some things that you should be thinking about?
Yeah, I've done that a few times, Mark, and I think I always think you've got to start with what's the work in here. So you really got to make sure that you understand the mission of the organization, what its needs are. I've never been a believer that you start with the talent you have and then, you know, fit them in to the strategy. I think it's
sure.
kind of the other way. I think the strategy's got to lead. Than the talent, and it's funny, when I coach on this all the time. Earlier today, I coached on this. Let's understand what we're doing first before we slot the team. So I think first it's got to start with both the strategy, and then you have to understand, what's needed. When I went into Pure Bar, I knew I needed the founder back because we had lost our way. I knew I needed a strong finance person.
Right.
I needed a head of operations. I knew I needed someone to help me on the digital idea. So we started with the strategy, and then we popped in, you know, the talent list.
What are some of your favorite interview questions as you're interviewing executives for a team?
I always, my favorite ones are two-part questions. And I try to do that in a way, it's not meant to be tricky, but it's meant to be, if people can actually answer the question, how do they answer it in what order? Do they forget about the second question? You know, the second part of the two-part question. So that's always a trick if I book for people in the future that may be interviewing with me, I'll always pull out a two-part question. And then I was always taught this behavior. Tell me about a time runner. And I think that speaks to really how, if people can give you an example about how they dealt with something.
Anything that, as far as technology or apps that that have made a difference in your productivity, have made your life easier or better?
Yeah, you know, I use Evernote, and I've found that super helpful. Particularly, sure. I've always had a bunch of people that work with me. And so I would have my mark list, you know, the things that you and I need to talk about if we had a, you know, an update. But I've always used that. And more recently, we've been using Asana, which is just a very simple project management tool. So when I was at Ecolab, I had the privilege of leading a massive PMO. I mean, we had 1,200 project managers, 6 master black belts, a couple hundred black belts and green belts, scattered around 31 deployments around the world. So I've seen project management done well. But most people don't know how to, can't do Asana or Asana, I don't know how to say it. But it's just a simple tool that we use to manage many of our projects. So it's got simple timelines. You can break things into work streams. You can assign tasks. And it integrates with the Google Suite. So
okay.
That's been really helpful here lately.
Good. Any parting advice that you would give to a new executive?
I think it's just a wrap into what I've said thus far, which is things I've learned early on about always be yourself. You know, be transparent about what's important to you. You know, open and transparent and vulnerable with things that maybe you learned along the way. And try to live that full life. So I think don't ever be shy about sharing that. Your faith's important. Your, you know, physical, your family, those types of things. It's, I think help bring about what's truly important to me as an executive. Always help me build a better relationship and have people lean in and share their true selves as well.
Great. Well, thanks again, Dave. We appreciated your time and the insights you've shared today.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.